Aidan, many thanks for joining us. It's been a big week for FinHarps as we reflect back on the annual general meeting. Interesting, and we were just saying before we came on air, a sign of the times, not that many bodies in the room for it last Sunday, but there was a strong online presence. And in many ways, this is just another reflection of the changing landscape that faces a club like FinHarps.
It does indeed, Chris. I suppose when we look at how the club, like other businesses, has had to evolve, there's an increasing amount of online activity, whether that's people paying for their tickets online, their match tickets, or buying merchandise online. And it's the same with keeping in touch with our supporters. Obviously, we have a lot of people living in Dublin or around the county, and it was a particularly bad night on Sunday night. But people came online, and it was very interactive. We had a lot of people coming in with questions, particularly as we had the demotion on the establishment of the new body, the Company Limited by Guarantee, who would be in charge of facilities for FinHarps.
So just elaborate a little bit on that. One of the major things coming out of the AGM, you could probably call it a structural change. There's a new limited company formed. So just what will it be responsible for, and how does it differ from what's the existing setup with the co-op?
Well, obviously, it's there to make sure that the running of FinHarps is done as best it can be possible, Chris. It's basically a company limited by Guarantee, which it makes it a separate legal entity. So it will be responsible for developing and managing the club's infrastructure and community assets. So it'll operate a little bit independently. It'll be, you know, fully aligned with the club, and the facilities will be licensed back to the club. There's a number of advantages of this, some of them financial, in that we can, it allows for VA registration. So it could save us up to $900,000 on VAT recovery on the large capital bills for the new stadium. So that's one of the advantages. Obviously, then we have a lot of people who might want to look at donating to the club for the long-term well-being and infrastructure of the club. So those donations, there's tax incentives as well. And it just means that their money is going to a place where they know it's going to be reserved for facilities, and it will have the long-term benefits of FinHarps. So that's obviously very positive as well. And obviously then for the actual administering of the club as well, it's the board's job has become increasingly busy with the growth of the club from underage and into the women's teams. What this will allow is that there will be a dedicated board tasked with developing and maintaining the facilities that we have, and obviously building the new stadium, and so that the board of the kind of FinHarps proper, if you like, can be solely focused on developing the football teams.
And important to point out, the AGM, now these figures that we're going to be talking about, it refers to the year 2024. We're almost at the end of 2025, but the way it is, it lags, it's almost a year behind. So if we look at the year overall for 2024, a couple of the headline things, Harps in the first division, which of course always sees less revenue than being in the Premier Division. The turnover at the club, not far shy of €1 million, and it was actually, gross income actually rose slightly. Now there was a loss in the region of 100,000, but I suppose it depends what way you look at things. The club is certainly growing.
It's definitely growing, Chris. And, the academy is growing every year. And obviously we've got the women's teams now, and the women's will be entering the inaugural development league this year. So that obviously costs money, and everything from buses to facility maintenance to rental and what have you. So you just look down through the overheads, and you see that you know, it's taking a lot more money to run the club. Obviously, there's rising costs in every business, and we're no different. But yeah, it's really underlines just how the club has grown, how much time it takes to run it. And all those figures, the income and overheads, represent a huge amount of people hours. We're mostly, almost entirely voluntary run by our administrative staff. And it's just testament to the work that people have put in that, you know, we're in the first division, but we're turning over a figure of 930,000. So to that end, we have to be very grateful for the volunteers who go out and fundraise that money to the sponsors who continually back the club, and to obviously everybody who supports the club by buying season tickets or memberships or merchandise, and also who supports the fundraisers. So it really, you can see what a big organization it is now. Probably it's fair to say as well, with the amount of you know, investors who've got, or benefactors that have come into the league, it's now taking more money to put a team on the pitch that can compete in the League of Ireland. So I think it's very well done to everybody. I you know, the phenomenal amount of work goes into making those figures happen. So we're very grateful to everybody who's helped.
Now, the club, I suppose, in simple terms, you know, roughly for every €9 that came in, €10 was going out. The total loss, just over 100,000 before taxation and a number of other factors taken into account. But that was actually down on the previous year when losses were 145,000. So the aim for the year 2025, which we're just nearing the end of, to break even, and that is certainly achievable.
Yeah, that's what we're looking to. And, you know, Christian, we were talking a bit earlier there about how the club has to evolve, and it's a changing landscape in the League of Ireland. And, you know, we want to give, you know, our first team manager the best possible support we can. Not easy, given that the market for players with investors come in is more difficult, and their location. We have to take into consideration as well, as that our team has to travel a lot further than other teams have to in the league season. So it's taken that bit more money. The CLG, which we've set up, will hopefully, we can work towards making everything more sustainable as well. And that's why the fundraising and some of the costs will move across to the CLG. And that will give us a bit of clarity. As I said, that will take dedicated people now. Our chairman, Ian Harkin, has put in absolutely phenomenal hours on the new stadium and other facilities. So, but as we go on, you know, a project manager will have to be hired for the new stadium. And it gives a vehicle now where people can, you know, obviously if they want to make a contribution and they want to dedicate it to facilities, they can do that by joining the 500 Club or supporting the Lotto or supporting the annual draw. And then we will focus on the first team with the other revenue streams. And it'll give us that clarity where, you know, dedicated people pushing on the facilities and working alongside and aligning with the club board, which will be supporting the first team. And, you know, it just gives us that little bit more clarity and a bit more focus about what everybody's roles will be going forward. So there is challenges, and they have got bigger every year. There's, you know, a well-documented cut of the UEFA Solidarity funding. There's been an increase in the wage calendar. So these are all new challenges, and they have to be met. But everybody has put in phenomenal work, and, you know, you know, in years past, you know, if you were turning over 929,000, you would be looking towards putting most of that to the first team. But now, of course, it's spread across the academy. And it was a good year of reflection as well, Chris, you know, to look at the amount of internationals, not just the three lads that went to the World Cup in Qatar, but there was internationals right across the board, from schools to other age groups. And then we were very proud of the players who represented Ireland Down Syndrome team as well. So there's that community aspect as well, which has been growing. And so a lot of big challenges, but a lot of very big positives as well. And, you know, the amount of partnerships we have, whether it's our sponsors or the community groups that we're all working with, there's a lot of very positive stuff happening. So, but we're looking to build, you know, we're looking to build literally with the stadium, and that has to happen. And then, you know, develop further facilities along with that. And then we look to obviously develop the first team as well and try and give the first team manager the support to push us on.
And on the stadium, what is the latest from the club? When can we, you know, the timeline has got shifted so many times down through the years. As things stand, are there any dates that one can say, if certain hoops are overcome, that we can see work on the pitch and then maybe the first part of the actual construction of the stands and the terracing?
We have put through applications for planning, which will hopefully be sorted out and approved as quick as possible. There's a lot of action points still to go, if we're being completely honest, and that is why it will need a dedicated project manager as we develop. So I don't want to go into just exact dates at the moment, but we hope to be able to announce something at the start of next year, but there is ongoing work all the time.
We're talking about figures at the AGM that related to 2024. The gate receipts were 129,500. And, you know, that works out about 12, 13, 14% of overall turnover. So, you know, compared with other clubs, where do Harps stand in that regard? Because gate receipts, hugely important. But when you look at the bigger picture, I suppose it shows now just how many other income streams there are.
And that's a very important aspect of running a club in this country, I suppose you could say. Now, the figure really for gate receipts, it used to come in about the 25, 26% mark. And I think a lot of the costs, obviously, that are happening now are going towards the academy, which is self-funding to a large degree. And we've got a great staff working to make that happen as well. And a lot of the teams are self-sustainable. So while that's a figure, you know, what the 12, 13% figure is of the overall club turnover, it is really important that, you know, people support us by buying through season tickets so we can support the first team and that we can give Kevin as much resources as possible. So, yeah, it's something we'll work on. You know, we know the facilities aren't what we would really like them to be, Chris, which obviously underlines the importance of the new stadium. But we believe that with the community work going in, with the growth of the academy, there's a lot of people, a lot of younger people now associated with the club, and that hard work will pay off when we get the facilities and when we can, you know, push on with the first team. And, you know, the determination of the management team, you know, we know we can't give them everything that they're looking for in terms of resources, but Kevin's already got the players back in pre-season, and there's a strength and conditioning regime which you're undergoing to get ready for the new season ahead.
And worth pointing out also, Aidan, that the figures, again, stressing 2024, the players' wages and salaries just over 200,000. So if you take, say, broadly speaking, maybe 20 sort of first-team players between part-time and full-time and average it out, it's about 10 grand a man, 200 quid a week. It shows that, you know, there's a lot of players at Finn Harps, and it's great with the academy coming through. People are not earning an awful lot of money by any means. And again, Finn Harps can be that stepping stone. It's putting them in the shop window. We're seeing the international recognition, and it's all about buying into the bigger picture.
Yeah, of course it is. And Chris, I can't commend the players enough. And, you know, they're led by guys like Tony McNamee, the captain, and Conor Turris, who've been around. We never hear any complaints about the fact that they're by far the longest away schedule in the country. They get on with it, and they're very proud to play for Finn Harps. They're good ambassadors for the club on and off the pitch. The fitness level required, as you know, has shot up in recent years. Several players have come to us and got on to full-time football, and sometimes, you know, we can offer, as you say, that shop window for players to come and get first-team football, and their careers can kick on from there. You know, we've a cohort of local players, lads, as you say, come up from the academy. They're very proud to play for the club. They've been doing it since they were from a young age, and that's testament as well to the amount of work the academy coaches and all the staff and put in there as well. Of course, Kevin was head of the academy and he's now going to be solely moving on to the first team. But Kevin was central to just putting in those structures, letting players know, you know, what the bar is that you have to reach technically, physically, psychologically. So the fact that they are being recognised internationally just shows that we're doing something right. And, you know, you probably heard about the auditors that were brought in from abroad, the Belgian company Double Pass, who audited all the academies in the country, and Finn Harps came out seventh in the country despite our lack of facilities. So it's just testament to all the work has gone on, and we believe the future is bright now. So they'll be looking to kick on this year. A lot of them got their first taste of football last year. We'll be looking to be as competitive as anybody coming into the division, and I think the fans will have something to look forward to.
And just to conclude, Aidan, it's important to point out, as well as the geographical challenges and the financial ones that we know already exist, there's been a lot of investment in League of Ireland clubs in recent seasons. You've got the likes of Shells and Shamrock Rovers benefiting from the European money. That gulf is getting wider. And even First Division clubs, you know, there are First Division clubs who are losing big six-figure sums each season. The league tables sometimes do reflect the amount of money behind the club.
Yeah, look, being honest, look at any league, you tend to find there's a correlation between the financial spend by clubs and the league table. But you can't, you know, clubs here and in the UK have upset that ratio. And but you're right, Chris, that they, you know, when you teams in the Premier are losing $1 million while winning the league, and clubs at the bottom losing $1 million while they get relegated, but those losses are covered by investors. So it does obviously make the, you know, the wages market that little bit more competitive. But we're happy working what we have. Kevin at the AGM spoke about a high-performance culture that he's installed at the club. Kevin, of course, came in the middle of last season after Darren left. And, you know, the pre-season gives him a chance to further implement some of his ideas. So, but everybody's working together. Chris, you know, the club is aligned because we know this is the way forward. The investor coming into the league has changed the dynamic, but we believe if everybody works together and, you know, we can hold our own, and we're really looking forward to the next year.
And one final thought, you know, when Kevin McHugh was playing for Finn Harps, for many of his playing years, Harps had just a first team. There may have been a second string in the Ulster Senior League. Contrast that with the situation now. You've the first team, you've academy teams, you've the women's team. What are we talking, 12 teams and more going down through the various age groups?
Yeah, you know, and we're starting by doing the pre-academy teams now as well. You know, Chris, we had our Academy Awards there a couple of weeks back, and the place was packed, and obviously we recognised high achievers through the year, but there was a real sense of unity there, and it just showed that you know, the talent that's around the county, if they're given a chance, if they're given elite training, you had male and female footballers there, as we've been saying, some of them represented the country, others looking to kick on, and there's a genuine pathway now to the first team, and it's just tremendously satisfying to see. And they want that, you know, elite players want to play at national level, they want an environment where they can fulfil their potential. That's been happening now, and we can continue to grow those structures. And, you know, if we can just get that support out there, there's no reason why the club can't have a really, really bright future.